Blog Talk Radio.
Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the time that we can come together in the study of your word so that we can learn, Father, have more knowledge, more wisdom. The knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it. Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to guide us, to keep us upon the right pathway, to open our hearts and minds to be, to receive, and be acceptable to the Word as we read it, Father, and with understanding. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Timothy, 5th chapter. There's only 6 chapters too, Timothy. We think we're going to get through both 5 and 6, but we'll see what the Lord has for us. Now, because Timothy, all the way through, is giving us things to go by in order to walk as a child of God. Chapter 5 is no different. something else for us to know and to do. All right, now, verse 1, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. You see, he's not talking about the elder of the church here. He's talking about those men that are older in years. We are to treat each one of them as we would our father. In other words, we are to respect them and to love them, to pray for them, and when the case may be, to pray with them. But they are to be honored. Verse 2. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. The older women were to treat as our mothers, and the younger women as our sisters. In other words, we are to behave ourselves around them and treat them with decency and respect that they deserve as being women of the church. Now 3, he tells us here, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. There are several things that a widow has to do to qualify her aid, for her to get receive aid from the church. One, she must be destitute and have no family to care for her. And then she must possess certain spiritual qualities. In other words, she's got to be a lady of God and of the church. And then she must be of a certain age. Now he'll let us know in a few minutes here what this age must be. As we're going into 4 now, you see, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In other words, if she's got family, then her family is supposed to take care of her, even if they are nephews. He goes on here in 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and destitute, and trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Now, here in 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, if she's living in luxurious living at all, and she is not really a lady of God, she's really spiritually dead. And that's what he's talking about there in verse 6. 7. And these things get in charge, that they may be blameless. Now, you see, Timothy is wanting to be sure that the churches comply with these directives that are given and all for the care of their widows. Eight. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, you see, they are to care for her, for that widow. Now, nine, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80. In other words, she is to be 60 years old, and she is to have been the wife of one man. You see, the Word of God is really plain. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It tells you straight out what is expected and what is God's will. Now, then, well reported of for good works. She's got to be the wife of one man, and she has to be reported of for good works. In other words, that she is a righteous woman. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Hold on to that verse, isn't it? Now, there's something in that verse that really most all of our churches should honor. They don't have to do it all the time, but they need to do it, say, once a year, which most don't, because most don't believe in. And that is what is called foot washing. Now, there was a time that your Baptist churches had foot washings quite often. Then they got away from it. But that's something really that our churches should do. Because we have been asked to do it. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and told us that we ought to wash each other's feet. Now we find it here again. Now, but verse 11. But the younger widows refuse. Those that are younger, below 60, refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Pardon me a moment. I've got the color in my throat. Now, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. You see, that's why the church is to refuse them, to financially support them. It is because most usually they will rebel against Christ, and that they will marry a lot of them. Pardon me again. I've got to get rid of this. I know that don't sound good, but it didn't. It gets in my throat to where I can't talk. You know, it's not the idea of them even really going back into sin. It's the idea that most of them will remarry because they don't want to stay single or as a widow. Now, 12. Having damnation because they have cast off the first faith. Now, if they have fallen away and they are not working in the church and following God, they have walked away from their first faith, as the Bible is calling it there. In other words, they walked away from God. And so they're not to financially take care of her. 13. And with them, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In other words, they're carrying tales and talking about things and people that they should not be out talking about. And a lot of things are actually secrets of others that they're out telling. Now, 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. This is what he said they do. Bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, walk as a lady of God and take care of her children and her home and her husband. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Evidently, they was having some of this problem here in some of the churches. 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. You see, if we have in our families widows, we as a family are to take care of them. not the church. 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Those that labor in the word of God and his doctrine, because this is the only doctrine we are supposed to be teaching. And we're told this in a lot of places, not just one, but several different places. We're warned about teaching this doctrine. Now, 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Now, a pastor that's got a church that is large enough that it keeps him busy to work, he don't have time for outside work. They should be taking care of him. Now, Paul and them, though they were busy, they didn't want to be chargeable to the churches, so they worked and made their own way. Just like with this ministry. When God called me to the ministry, he had just brought me off of my deathbed, put me in a well body, called me to the ministry. He always seen I had work to do and the ability and all to be able to do it. I never could figure out how I could charge him and gave to me. So no one in this ministry is paid. The money that comes into us, we use to further the ministry and to help those that are in need. And we have a lot of people today in trouble and in need. And one we are to stand with Israel. We're to pray for them. And we are to help them. So we do send to them. Then we have Indian children right here in our land that are hungry, need clothing, schooling, and all in their own reservations that they were put on, that the government had promised they would care for them, but they're not really doing it. And they're going without. And we do help also a couple of them as we can. Now, that's what happens income. Just to let you know. Now, 17. We read that. That's where it said, let the elders, their rule will be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his heart. 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You know, against an elder, we are not to receive any accusation against them without at least two or three witnesses to that accusation. Now, 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Those that are living in sin, you talk to them and you rebuke them about that sin, and you do it before witnesses. And that lets others know that if they are living in sin, they're not going to really get away with it, and they will be called in about it also. Now, 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, we're not to be partial one over another. They are all to be held responsible just alike. And that is to be done by the word of Almighty God. Because you see, that's what they are to live by, is his word. And if they're not living by it, then we're to let them know. That's why we are to speak boldly. That's why we are to teach this word as it is written, just like I'm doing. Taking it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Of course, this time we're going through the whole Bible. We've been a while, but we've gotten quite a ways. Covered a lot of scripture. Now, 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. You know, Timothy and them, they are against, actually, hastily or hurriedly, ordaining a man as an elder. Because in doing that, you can ordain them that are unqualified and those that are not living their responsibility to the office or to God. And you know, it can put us in bad if we do these things, if we ordain too quickly because it not only hurts the edifying of the church, but also of individuals. That's why we were told back in the third chapter what the qualifications are, and we were told there for them to be proved before it was done. And that's the reason for it. And that's what he's talking about right here. Now, drink no longer water, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. What about that? You know, it tells you to stop drinking just water only. But every now and then, use a little wine for the sake. Because you see, it is good for your digestion and some frequent sicknesses. But that's talking about real wine, not just store-bought wine. You see, store-bought wine is not pure wine. It's got other stuff added to it. But if you can find someone that makes good, what we call homemade wine, that's what this is talking about. And then, you see, that's why, actually, that's what was used at the Last Supper. And what we should be using for communion. And there was a reason for that. A lot of mankind don't know that, don't understand it, why it was used. But it was used because wine is one of the most liquid substances on earth. You know it purifies itself every 21 days, and it makes itself a little better each time. Think about it. That's how it was used. And it is good for your digestion and a few other things of the body. But he said a little, and that's what he meant. Because a drunkard's not going to get into the kingdom of God. So you don't drink enough to get high on. No. That's not what he's talking about at all. Now. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. Some go before and some follow after. But you see, God knows them all. He knows every one of them. In 25, the last verse of chapter 5. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. You see, they are like your sins. God knows your good works also. He knows your every good thought, just as he does every evil thought. Think about this. And we're going to stop here. I'm not going into six, because six is quite a few verses to it before we get out of it. But six is the last chapter of 1 Timothy. then we'd be going into 2 Timothy. So we're, God willing, we'll get in to chapter 6 come morning. I pray that you have learned something from this study, that you've taken something out of it to hold on to make you a little stronger, not only in the Word of God, the Lord our God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your Word, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we come together to share your Word with each other and with others, Father, that are out there listening. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate for this evening and tonight, keep us, Father, in health. Keep us all safe. Let us rest through the night. Let us wake early in the morning refreshed to be ready to get back into your Word at 10 a.m. in the morning. Father, watch over our families, our loved ones. We have those, Father, that are walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit work with them to help and help us to bring them out of darkness and into light, that light being Jesus. In Israel, Jerusalem, Father, we pray for them. We pray for peace for them. And we pray more, Father, for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, we're holding it up in prayer, praying that things can be changed here, Father, for the good, to bring our land to repentance so it can be healed and our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus put back into every place he's been taken out of. Now, Father, be with us and keep us through the night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a great night. And I pray that, God willing, we can all be together again come morning and back into the Word of God. Good night.